father's estate. My soul, oh, so glad. So glad, so glad, so glad, 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 so glad.
I wanted all, hallelujah to God, to be somewhere. in my heart and mind that it's not in vain that I was baptized in vain, that I found the remission of sin and I couldn't let the Holy Ghost be my guide. I want the words that are on my heart to reach your ears. I want the breath, hallelujah to God, that you put in my nostrils to not be there in vain. That when I give up the ghost because I can't retain it, when you ask for it, I got to let it go. But I want you to receive this spirit of prayer today. That when that moment comes, receive the spirit now that I have, that I want to be saved. I want to be delivered. I want to be set free and kept free. You can receive this spirit now from me. And I give it to you, Lord, with all that you have put in me. I give it back to you. As you give me the breath, I give it back to you. You give me another breath, I give it back to you. I give you another one, I give it back to you. And the word that you put on the book that you gave me, I want to remind myself of the words. And as I remind myself of every word that have come down from heaven, I want to be able to give it back to you. I want to be able to say, I thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave my soul in darkness, but I found the light of your word. I want my words to match your words. I want my doings to match your doings. So when you come for your church, you'll find me so doing the will of God. It is this breath that you've given me today. As I breathe in and I breathe out, it's a relationship that I have only with you. All of this dust came from the earth. But the thing that I have that came from you is my breath. And I thank you for it. At every breathing in, I got to let it go. And when I give it back to you, I want my spirit to say, I thank you for it, Lord. And you give me another one, and this breath now gives me life. And I have life in this frame, but I want to stand once more when all of this is over. I want to stand once more and receive your breath into my nostrils one more time and live forever. This prayer I pray now is for that moment to be for me. My faith makes that moment real for me, because if I believe, therefore have I spoken and gave you my spirit that I believe you, Lord. I believe you can help me conquer everything in this life. No matter what has entangled me, I believe that you are able to deliver. And I believe you're able to set me free, because your word says, who you set free, they are free indeed. I believe, therefore have I spoken. With every breath that I take, I thank you for it. As I give it back to you, I thank you for the next one on the come, the next one that's coming, and the next one that's coming. In my life, I have breathed over 600 million breaths. And I thank you for each and every one. And for every 600 million that I've taken in, I breathe out 600 million back to you. Now, you and I are one. I live and have my being in you, and you now live in me. And I give you these words of prayer. When you come for your church, find me. Count me worthy. Make me worthy. I know you're able, because your words are not going to return void. You said it, and it's going to be. And I thank you that it is my words that I give back to you the words that you gave to me. So the words are your words. And when Stephen said, receive now my spirit, you took the words of Stephen and you saved it. Save us, Lord. Save us, Lord, because I know you're able. You're able to deliver us. You're able to keep us free. I thank you for every word. I got to give an account to you for every breath. Every breath that I've taken. The 600 million or so. You said I must give an account of. And today, I want to account for them and say, thank you, Lord. I want to account for them and say, I've been baptized in your name. I want to account for it and say, I received the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. And I want to account and say, I have continued steadfastly to keep believing that you're going to do everything that you said. And no matter what has come to make me not believe, I still believe. And I need you now to answer these words as I give them to you. Receive now my spirit in thanksgiving for every breath that I've taken. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us all say amen.
Whatever your good pleasure, whatever will please the Lord, work it out in me. And that's more than a notion. That the Lord will work out whatever his good pleasure is for you. And some of the things that we want to go through, it might not be good to us, but it's good to God. We think of Job, we go to the scriptures when we have this man of patience. But if you think about what he had and you set yourself where he sat, and he lost everything, his wealth, his health, his children, everything he had was gone. And he never, ever opened his mouth against God or said anything to the devil. He said the Lord had taken away his glory. The Lord had done this to him. And before his life was complete, the Lord restored what he had and more. But if you think about the breath that he had, that he would not curse God and die, but he blessed the Lord. Now, if you look at the words, and you look at all that is written, someone said all of that. And all of those words are life. And I often think, they used to sing a song, if my mother doesn't go, I won't turn back. And I think of all the people that spoke those words and sung all of those songs in the congregation, and God made a record of it. And when they have to meet God, and the record said, you said, I won't turn back. And the Lord said, look where you stand and look what you testified to. Somebody's got to give an account to God for that. You all know enough of the word I'm going to exchange this the word and I'm going to say you know enough of the spirit. You know I'm talking about the word. You know enough about the spirit of God that whatever you take and say, God's going to make you give an account for it. Sister Carolyn spoke and said, I'm going to do better. I believe her. Those are the words. Her spirit sees where she wants to be. So the scriptures say, out of the abundance of my heart, then I will speak. The scripture talks about the treasures that you have in your heart. And every time you come to the worship house and the Lord speak and add treasure there, you speak on it. And when the Lord builds you up and then he leads you in the world and send you out among wolves, your next door neighbor, the people on your job, everything you come in contact to, the Lord has already put treasures on your heart that shall come. And I often think, here is a man and his wife to God, they're one flesh. And the Lord commanded them to save themselves. He said, now go, save yourself from what destruction I'm going to bring, and don't look back. But somehow in God, he was able to see when that one flesh turned, he split it. And in my little pea brain, I always thought they were walking out hand in hand. You know how lovers walk. And they're walking to safety. They grab one another's hand and they're walking. And this man had to let this woman go. And not even turn around to see what happened to her. Now, how possible is that with you? When you are your bestest friend said, I can't go there with you anymore. You say, oh, and you go with them. In the last couple of years, I, in my ministry, always speak of my friend Tyrone. He's probably the only friend that I've had all of my collegiate life and now. And, you know, he won an argument every Monday. He called me to get ready for one of his papers. He's doing his master's in philosophy. And he is trying me at every turn, Japon. You preaching all this ancient stuff, and all that ancient stuff ain't done nothing for nobody, and how could you give that ancient stuff? I said, it's the things that were written aforetime. I quote, keep quoting the book. And he want to come out of the book. He said, but what about this, Patterson? I said, what about it? I have what God said. And soon as he get in trouble, what name come out of his mouth? I said, wait a minute, that's ancient. You can't go there. So he asked me one day, I was rushing to do something. He said, what food do you have at your house? And I started to say the word, but I know that wouldn't go over well. So I say, well, the Lord had blessed me with this vegetable lasagna my brother had made for me. So I said, will you come on by? I'll have something ready for you. And so when I got there, Elder Gerald was late and Tyrone came early. I said, it's coming. So when the food got there, he sat out and he ate, and I waited till he finished. And then I went at it. How is it that all of a sudden, when you go to school, the scripture says the letter killeth, but it is the spirit, it's the word of God that gives life. You're going to throw away now everything that you know about the word because you're doing your thesis in philosophy, and the scripture tells you to throw that stuff away. But I said, don't give me any buts. But I'm saying I am willing not to ever be a friend to you again. You can't turn me from this. Why? He said, because it worked for me. The things that were written worked for me. And I believe if I come at this late date and stop believing in it, I don't get another chance to turn. And I really think this man Lot had to let go of the thing that he loved. The children had to let mama go and not even turn around to see what had happened to her. Why? The word of God went out, said, go and don't turn. How easy is it to do, people think now? It's not easy. You have to have the strength of God to do his will. It seems easy to us. When the word of the Lord went out in the garden and said, now every tree you can eat and touch, but he said the tree that's in the midst, don't touch them. Don't eat of it. And where did they go to? Totally against the Spirit of God. Why? Because something came up and said, oh, don't pay God no mind. That won't really happen to you. Did it? So salvation then was in the obedience to the Word of God even from the beginning. What do you think it is now? When you say, I got to save myself, if I have to let everything go that I birth, I would rather meet the Lord in peace and say, I thank God for saving me. And here is a child that remembers, I think of it often. When there was a word that she heard, she told God, not so. And it wasn't a prayer in her mind. The speech was spoken. And one day I pray that you understand how forceful the scriptures say are right words. How marvelous is it to speak something and make it be what it is, what you say it is. When the word of God becomes important to you and you realize it was God's word that made everything, he opened his mouth and spoke. Let there be light. What appeared? Light. He spoke. That same spirit now is in you. And then he said, as a man thinketh, then so is he. And then from your heart you will speak. You say, I believe. Therefore have I spoken. What have you said? How many of us told the Lord, I'm going to be saved? Save me, Lord. How many have asked the question of God? You've asked it. And I could know the heart of someone when they're telling God, whatever it is your good pleasure is, whatever you do, he said, work. He was saying, stretch it out in me, but I think I wrote it, work it out in me. Either one works for me. But if God is going to work out his pleasure, he worked it out in that body he wore. And that was not a pretty picture. And you think he collected out of all of the disciples that walked with him, he took 12 of them, he said, I want to make you apostles, and one he selected was a devil. And set him at the table. And his words came out and said, the one that shall put his hand in the sock with me shall betray me. That word could not go back void. So when God's hand went to the sock, his enemy's hand was coming from the other quarter, and they met at the food. Then the scripture says Satan entered into his heart. To do what? Accomplish the will of God. So God used the devil to accomplish his will. And Judas, after it was done, his heart then knew what he had done. But there was no recourse, because the enemy cannot be saved. If he was the devil and God said he was, how could he then save him? But nobody in here think that they are working for the enemy. Do you? Then what are you going to do? You don't mind telling God, whatever your good pleasure is, work it out in me. You'll tell God, even though you're looking at the worst of things, you say, I'm willing to go all the way through. Then you understand that your life then is a sacrifice for God. Try this. Take a breath in and hold it as long as you can, and see if you can hold it until Jesus comes. Go ahead. Breathe in and hold it. And hold it until Jesus comes. Don't give it up. Can you? You can't do it. You can't even stop breathing and say, I don't want no more. Try it. I don't want no more breath. Just hold it. I mean, don't try to breathe. Can't do it. Here then is your relationship with God that he's asking you to have with him. At every breath, will you praise me for it? What he's trying to get you to understand is, when you get in eternity, that's what you're going to do. But he could not have a soul to save unless you came through the trials of the life. A spirit without the body is dead. Or the body without the spirit, rather, is dead. So God needed a body, so he put his spirit in a body, took it on the cross, suffered out the life. How did he do it? He said, I'll give it up. He had the power to give it up. When he was finished with it, the preacher said he has the power over life and death. He does. But what he gave you of himself, he gave you life. And he said, live. So at every breath, he said, live. Now, if he's talking to you, and then something comes contrary to your walk with God, stop breathing. Can you do it? No. That means you're going to need God at the time you all call the most, to endure. How can you endure alone? You can't. Can you imagine his body being broken for you? And he's continuing to believe the word, I must get to the cross. And he put your name on his heart and knew I'm going there. And he put your name in his mouth. With all of the power that he had, to come down and not die. He stayed there because he had you in mind. What then can we do for him? How do I repay this God for the love that he's shown toward me, that he shed his blood for me? He said, be holy like I am. How can you be holy? The words in your mouth stay holy. Your body is just that. It's going back to the dust from which it came. But you can take it down holy. This is where the gospel gets into little nuances. Because you all know enough about the scripture to save yourself. The only thing you're doing now is purifying yourself and getting rid of the stuff that folks said that don't make no sense. That chaste keeping is a clean house. Just throw that foolishness out. Say that. No, chaste means keep yourself. It's these little nuances now that you want everything that you say to be the truth of God. And when someone, if you're walking hand in hand with them, don't want to go, you're going to have to continue because God's trying to save you. There's a scripture that's written. There are two at the meal. They're doing the same thing. One is taken, the other left. Your faith is the one that's taken is you. Your faith then makes you do something, work. It makes you work out your soul salvation. Faith without doing it is dead. What good is it to have faith and you're not working after what you believe? You believe God is coming back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle and you got stains galore. You better grab some bleach and you need to get to work. How much have you said one to another and you had no thought of I'm going to accomplish what I said? And that person went off believing what you said. They had faith in what you said, and you had none in what you said, but you said it. That word is going to meet. Can you understand those words are going to meet you? And if you don't fix it now, judgment is awful if you don't fix it now. Because once you know God, you don't get a chance to stand at judgment and be saved. The white throne judgment is not for saints to be saved out of. You got to do it now because you know God. Once he introduced himself to you, you don't get a chance at the white throne judgment say, oh, forgive me. He said, no. Mm-mm. When my parents told us, don't play the blues in this house, soon as their car back up, we look out the window to see if that little green, station wagon that they carried 13 children around in. How you do that, I don't know. It's like Brother Daniel. But that station wagon back out the driveway, we turn the radio on. Turn it from the little gospel station they had. Daddy used to listen to one of those stories. They used to tell stories about people getting saved, the Salvation Army thing. We turned it from that, and child, we'd just be hopping around the house. No, we just having a ball. It felt so good to be free to dance. But we didn't realize the car was coming back. They forgot something. So nobody was on the lookout that we were so busy dancing around. And as soon as my dad heard the noise, it was like Moses and Aaron coming down from the mountain, and we done made a calf, and we just are dancing around. And the next thing, our eyes closed, and we just are bucking around. And the next thing you felt was, bam! Wah! We felt the belt. He pulled it off at the door, coming in, and we all danced. Next thing, the wrath of God was on us. Y'all been there? They corrected us at that moment. But soon as the car backed up and all them webs healed up, we were back at it again. And one time we forgot to turn the station back to where Daddy had it. And he turned it on. He heard what we were doing. And you sleeping in your bed. Carol, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You got them too? You had that kind of mom and dad? Mm-hmm. You just taking in God's breath. And then you feel this coldness come over you. The covers just peel back. Exposing you in your little drawers and your undershirt. And you're reaching in your sleep trying to pull it back. And the next thing you feel is the wrath of God on your flesh. Now, imagine that now. You wake up in the flame. You can't get out. You can't get out. That punishment now is permanent. So if the Lord said, I want you to do something, we are mature enough now to do it. And tell when I was a child, I act like a child, but now I'm older, I put away the childish things. I'm ready now to obey the word of God to the fullest. If I have to go alone, because I'd rather meet Jesus than to meet the host of demons. Those are the only ones in eternity to meet. There are no sideshows. It's either Christ or the enemy. Your deeds are going to determine which one you meet. If I pick up the book and I say, give me Ezekiel, is it the 35th chapter or the 37th chapter of Ezekiel that he talks about the dry bones? The Lord don't look at things like you all do. Isn't that beautiful, Sister Minna? Because if the Lord was like man, we couldn't stand at all. You know, we'll all be in the flames of hell right now because people are trying to put you there. But what I'm asking you today to do is if you consider anything that you already know without me opening up anything, the scriptures you already know. To enter into the kingdom, you know I have to repent. You know you must be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ. You all know all these things. You know you must receive the Holy Ghost. You have some evidence that you know you got it. And then you got to contend steadfastly to believe. That's the job. It's contending steadfastly to believe. Do you know how much is out there to make you turn to stop believing God? But when you make up in your mind that you are going to live this life for Christ, the devil is standing right there to withstand you. And the thing that you like the most is going to be the thing he put in front of you the most. That stuff he can't get you with. It's like, oh, we're going to make Bishop a womanizer. It ain't going to work. That don't work on me. I killed it. Oh, I'm going to love money. Won't work on me. But he'll find that thing. Trying to be faithful. 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 And then something will happen that'll cut your heart. I'll be faithful to that. And you got to say, but end up being faithful. Y'all know. You know what I'm talking about. And when he put it there, you know how I got there. You got to say, Lord Jesus, help me. Help me, Lord. Because the Lord said, I'm not tempting you. He said, that's going after your flesh. So he said, Lord, you got to help me. Now, if the Lord helped you to over one day, give him the praise for that day. If he helps you in an hour, thank him for the hour. But if he comes the next hour, where is the mind? Is the mind still determined to make it? But man will condemn you. God will forgive you. And I want you to think about his words, because when Ezekiel, these words were written, a man's mind opened to God. And this man said, "Speak, Lord." And he had the pen. And he began to say some things and he wrote it down. And when he was writing these words down, those ancient words made it to you. And you pick this book up and you read it and forget it. And the Lord said, "Remember when I told you that I had words said over you that you're going to live again and you stop believing that? Can you live? You can live in this life, but will you live again if you don't believe the words?" No. So when he told this man looked just like me. He's just a different color, pecan tan. And his nose might not have been as wide as mine, but and his hair might not have been as good. My hair is tightly, what'd you say it is?
Extremely curly.
Extremely curly. Not. But the Lord opened his mind and said, "Write these words." And I want to introduce you to these words. You knowing that the word is the Spirit of God, right? In your heart, in your mind, in your soul, in your speech. Listen to these words and tell me what you think I should believe when it comes to the saving of my soul. If the Lord tells this man to speak to my bones, I hope I got you to understand that when you were made in your mother's womb, that's why Job said, how is it that bone is made in the womb of a woman? And when bone is made there, it never goes anywhere. It's eternal. It's eternal. Go back and get the mummies. That mummy be laying in his coffin, however they put his foot, however he's laying, disturbing. All that flesh might have gone off. But what's left? They got dinosaur bones. They ain't going nowhere. So here is God talking to a man, and he opened the man's mind and said, look at the valley. The valley was the grave. It was a grave. And all in the valley, all he saw was dry bones. Your bones are wet. You got the blood running warm through it, and you're wet with the word of God, as the scripture says. All these words come and keep you wet. These folks can't hear nothing, they're dead. So their bones dried out. But that's all right. The question is, will they live again? Will you live again? Give us a speech.
And he said unto me, son of man.
Son of man. Son of man means someone born of a woman. Son of God means someone born again of God. You can understand that, you'll understand a whole lot more of the scriptures. Son of man, he's talking to a man. Yes.
Can these bones live?
Can these bones live?
And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest.
He said, Lord, you know. This conversation is being written for you. Now, you got to put yourself as one of them bones standing there saying, oh, God, are we going to live? And to hear the dumb man of God saying, Lord, you know, don't you know something, you old crazy man? Are we going to live? Y'all know how y'all get with the preacher. Carol, you know how they get. Say, you should know such and such a thing. No, I should know nothing if God don't give it to me. I know enough to save you. Oh, shall they live again? Thou knowest.
And again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones.
Now let's discuss this. Prophesy to them. What do you think?
And say unto them.
Let's explore prophecy.
O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.
Let's explore prophecy. What if somebody keep telling you you're on your way to hell? That's prophetic, isn't it? I'm on my way where? To hell. Well, you should have something for them. So are you. How do you know? So are you. Hell means the grave. Everybody's going. Everybody. But there's scripture written saying God will not leave your soul in hell because he's going to pull you out before he casts it into the flames. What folks are trying to say is you're on your way to the flames, but they keep saying you're on your way to hell. Well, so are you. Jesus went to hell. And while he was there, he was just there 3 days and three nights. He got out. But do you imagine that those souls that were down there, he said, let me preach to you. He woke them people up and started preaching in hell. You know what he was preaching? This gospel that you're hearing now. And what you're going to be saved by, these are the folks that did not get in the ark when Noah said, it's going to rain. And here the Lord saying, you should have got in. I would have saved you. But it's too late. Saints do not get judgment in at the white throne. Your judgment is started now. If you don't do it now, you don't get a chance after you're dead. You got to go down holy. You got to go down righteous. You got to go down right. Now, prophecy. If the man of God begins to prophesy to you and speak faith to you in your ears and you believe him, let me show you what will happen. Despite what you do, because his words can't return void. They're God's words. Prophesy to the bones. He's saying, now preach to them. Say something to them. Speak of what is going to be on those bones. Mm-hmm. Not the flesh, the thing you have your problem with. Not talking to your flesh, the thing that's going to go away. But that thing that is eternal. It's either going to be eternal with God with a glorified body, and God's going to give them that go to the flame. They're going to get a body that will never burn up also. And they'll be able to feel the heat as long as God lasts. And God ain't going nowhere. Bishop Johnson put it this way. He said the time that it takes a bird to go get a grain of sand from the sea and fly that one grain into eternity and come back and get the next grain, you know how long it's going to take that bird to fly all the grains of sand from the earth into eternity. Eternity is still going to be going on. That bird tired and wore out. Say, look, somebody else get the second grain. The first grain wore me out. But this is the time that the Lord is saying that you either do it right now and don't wait for that because I won't tarry there. So the prophetic thing goes out and say, O thou son of man, prophesy to these bones.
O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.
Hear now the words of the Lord.
Thus saith the Lord God.
God said
unto these bones,
to the bones,
behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live.
Stop right there. He'll cause what to come? How are you going to live? The breath is coming. He said, I will cause now the breath. God said, I'm going to do this. Where do you think it's going to come from? Fix the issue. God is going to do it. And I will have you live. Yes.
And I will lay sinew upon you.
That's muscles.
And I will bring up flesh upon you.
His now is a glorified flesh.
And cover you with skin.
And now put a skin over you.
And put breath in you. And you shall live.
Here these dry bones are going to live again. Why? Because prophecy is going out over your body. Now, the problem is the belief. Believe thou this. Finish reading this on your own. I want to discuss it the rest of my days here. I don't want to give you so much manna that it stinks. I want to give you enough that you're going to understand what I'm trying to get across to you. Every breath you took in this life, God has given it to you. And it's going to come to an end. But that breath that you get after those bones have been dry and the Lord let you live again, it's going to be eternal. And I want you to work for that. If someone told you, in the stead of God, supposedly, that you shall die and go to hell, would you believe it? My thing is, the preacher is supposed to preach life.
Amen.
Life.
Yeah, amen, that's right.
And then, like you say, the scripture says, some will be caught away and not even taste death.
Amen. That's what it says.
They're going to be raptured. Mm-hmm. But where Brother Daniel is, and I want Brother Daniel to go look at that, when Jesus was saying, some of you here will not taste death until the kingdom comes,
mm-hmm.
He was looking at folk that were going to be around when Pentecost happened. There he says, some of you standing will not taste death until the kingdom comes, which was going to be the Holy Ghost falling. So some of those people that were with Christ didn't die. They were in the upper room and part of those souls that saw the kingdom come.
Yeah.
So look at that and let's discuss. I don't want to be like Chase is keeping a clean house around here. All right? When the word of God gives you something, understand what the Lord is saying. If you are walking around holy and the rapture happens, you will just drop this. He's in Corinthians. You'll drop this and you'll go. But the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, he said, those of us that remain will be caught up to meet them in the air.
Amen. That's right.
Now, you got to be in Christ. But what if you believed somebody say you're on your way to hell? You believed them. And your consciousness don't mean the grave when they say you're on your way to hell. You're not thinking grave because I just gave you that. You're not thinking grave. You're thinking you are damned,
mm-hmm.
aren't you?
Yeah.
You are. And as a man thinketh, the scripture says,
so is he.
So is he.
Mm-hmm.
He don't know. That's the issue.
He don't know.
But people are believing it, Sister Carol. They're believing it with all that is in them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the doctor say, ma'am, you got 3 months to live. And they say, oh, my God, it's 3 months. And people die 3 months to the day. Majority of the time, they die when that doctor say, why? They believed him. But if you say, not so, doctor. Bishop Shelton told that doctor, he said, you'll be dead before me. And the man was younger than him, I think. He said, you'll be dead before me. Because he went into a coma, and the next thing, they don't put him in the hospital, and he woke up. This ain't the kingdom. But y'all folks don't put me. They say, sir, you're in bad shape. He said, I don't care what kind of shape I'm in. He said, I want to get out of here. They say, sir, you can't get out. He said, I'm getting out of here. And I can just see him. I'm out of here. They said, no, sir. He said, you have to sign. He said, bring me the papers because I am out of here. And that doctor said, well, sir, if you leave, you're going to die. He said, I'll outlive you. Sign the papers. I'm out of here. He went out. The doctor died. And thank God he held on to it. After the doctor died, then he died. But he spoke and said, I would outlive you. Your faith, what you speak, what you believe. Therefore, the preacher then preach life and tell you these are the possibilities of what God can do for you. If you believe what his record has said, he can do those things for you.
Amen.
So as I started out, when this woman's child, she heard that he won't live, she didn't want that. And she opened her mouth to God and told God, not so. And then the child began to hear the words of his mother. In his condition, he heard his mother talking to God. And she took her hand and began to touch her child and anoint her child with her own hands. Did God raise her son up? I'm telling you the power of the word that is already in you. If it's dying, it can make you live. If you got issues that you're looking at, you can tell God not so and change it. You can do that with the word. Now let's try it. Hand gets smashed. You're going to say, Jesus, 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 help me, Lord, Jesus. Here's a car getting ready to smash you in a head-on collision. I'm on a plane talking to a man. He's an atheist. The plane drops. And, of course, I thought I would never hear this man be having a conversation. He don't believe in God. That plane dropped that thousands of feet. Ooh, Jesus. Really? Hello? He said, that was a slip. No, that wasn't no slip. That wasn't no slip.
That wasn't no slip.
That wasn't no slip.
All right, man.
I say, don't you worry, buddy. I'm on this plane. I tell them that all the time. When that lady died behind me, they say, is it a doctor? I say, I'm here. Lady dead. I said, I'm here. I said, she'll be all right. They pulled back in. They say, literally, the child was trying to wake her mama. Mama, mama. Lady gone. Is there a doctor? I said, you don't need a doctor. She's right behind me. I said, I'm here. Oh, we need a doctor. You need a doctor. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The lady, oh, what? Did you know what happened? I believe God. And when people get in trouble, that's the name they call upon. But you must keep him on your tongue day in and day out. When you see his marvelous works, you say, thank you, Lord. When you need him, you call him by his name. Therefore, his name is continually on your tongue. Do you have breath? Then you have a commandment to praise God.
Thank you for tuning in to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith radio broadcast. Join us where everyone will be uplifted, young and old. For more information, visit us online at theapostolicfaith.org.